Holy Spirit, we open our lives to you. We open our hearts to you. We open our dreams to you. Have your way in us. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are the inspirer. You are the one who creates good, love, truth. And Father God, we just say, you are welcome here. We welcome you here. We welcome you here. You are welcome in our midst. We don't want to listen to what we want to listen to, but Lord, we are welcome for you just to speak to whatever you want to speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives. Speak to our marriages. Speak to our ministries. Speak to our workplaces. We are open, surrendered, living sacrifices for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I was having an interesting conversation on the breaks, and something popped up which I thought I'd mention before I get into anything else. I believe God is always speaking to us, whether it's through creation, whether it's through reading your Bible. And I've got to be honest with you, I hear God most when I read my Bible. Having prophecy is not an excuse not to read your Bible. In fact, you need to know the whole Bible because you've got to test what the prophecy says, so you need to know what this book says. It's more important, I would say. But I believe God is always speaking to us through dreams, through visions, through emotions. The issue is, he may not be answering the question you're asking. And because he's not answering the question we're asking, because he's got his own agenda, I mean, he is Lord, really, and King of Kings, so really he should decide what he talks about rather than what we want him to talk about. Because he's not talking about what we want to talk about, we often dismiss what he's saying. That one was for free. I don't know where it leads. I just had that little gem of wisdom while I was talking to someone. If you've got a Bible, turn to Mark 6. I want to share a little concept with you, and then I want to pray for one or two people and just invite Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Are you up for that? It's not about us. It's all about what he does. I love being drunk in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I love hearing his words. I love his instructions, but I want him in the room. You know what I mean? I just love experiencing him. Anyway, Matthew 6. Why am I going to Matthew 6? Sorry, Mark 6. Good, you were on my toes. That's good. Otherwise, I'd be in the wrong book. Mark 6. I believe when I talk about prophecy, I don't just mean about giving a prophetic word to someone. You know, I for me, prophetic means a lot bigger than that. It's living step in step with the Holy Spirit, walking step by step in God's plan, not just, I've heard God, so I'm going to give a word, or I've heard God, so I'm going to do this. I believe we should be immersed, or a biblical word, baptized in the Holy Spirit, day after day after day, being on his river, to use that metaphor, going where he wants us to go under the power of the Holy Spirit in his flow. How do we do that? What does it look like? And to look at this question, I'm going to go back to the life of Jesus because he's probably a good person to look at, really. Jesus, who never did anything apart from what the Father told him to do and did it all under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe. I hope that's what we believe anyway. How did Jesus move in the Spirit? How did Jesus move in life with the Father? Because it's a bit different to us. So he goes, and this is not there, but he goes to the pool of Bethesda. He goes up to one person, sees them healed. There's a whole load of people in that around that pool who need healing, and he just walks away and disappears. We would be calling a revival meeting, twittering, and getting our Facebook accounts open, calling down the local media. Jesus was different. He seemed to go to one person in a crowd full of need and then disappear and go somewhere else. I learned very quickly in church leadership that if I follow the demands of people or the needs of people, I will be run ragged and ineffective, put lots of effort in, little fruit. But when you can hear the voice or the leadings of the Holy Spirit, you get great fruit for little work. Great fruit for little work. Supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to live a life of Sabbath rest. We don't get rewards for how hard we're working. We get rewards for doing what he says. It's about obeying him, not trying hard. Don't let the devil set your agenda. Don't let the demands of people set your agenda, following the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this down, I thought it was good, so I read it. There'll always be a better way to love people. Spend your time and money in the eyes of the offended. Jesus was criticized heavily for the actions he did, who he spent time with, and where resources were put. There will always be criticism when you follow Holy Spirit. Bring it on, yeah. So how did Jesus do it? Well, I was looking through the Gospels, and I kept seeing a similar phrase. What I was really looking for was, you know, a 1, 2, 3 easy step to see healing in people's lives. And unfortunately, I didn't find it, because the Bible doesn't seem to work like that. It doesn't seem to have 7 steps to your healing, unlike so many of the books we read. It seems to be a lot more complex and simple at the same time. But I did see this. Every time that Jesus, or nearly every time that Jesus seemed to see a healing or a miracle, it was always accompanied with this. He had compassion on them. I don't even need to go through the Bible for you, you know it. He had compassion on them. Now, why would the writers of the Gospels talk about Jesus having compassion on someone? I've got 2 ideas why. One is because Jesus taught them that it was a very important thing to have compassion in terms of moving in miracles following Holy Spirit. Or secondly, it was so evident on Jesus that the disciples could see the compassion on him. I don't know, but there's something massive about Jesus having compassion and then God moving. So let's look at Mark 6 and see how this story unfolds. The context is this. The 12 have been sent out. They've been on their first mission. They were told to take no food. So they've arrived back to find Jesus teaching and ministering on the Lake of Galilee. These guys are tired. They're probably very hungry. They're probably quite satisfied. But they're exhausted. The second thing that you'll find out if you read all the Gospels, they have just heard that John the Baptist has been beheaded. Some of these guys were also disciples of John the Baptist. So Jesus sees his 12 come back, tired, exhausted, some emotionally drained because John the Baptist has been beheaded. And this is where we pick up the story. Verse 30. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while, for there were many people coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves." So, Jesus, who only does what the Father tells him to do, is led by the Holy Spirit and does only things in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has a plan. He sees his disciples in this disheveled state. He has compassion on them. And this is the plan. We're going to go over the Lake of Galilee to a desolate place, a secluded place, somewhere where nowhere else is, so we've got time to prepare some food and to eat. Can everyone agree? That's the plan. That's the plan, okay? Well, let's read what happens in the story. Verse 33. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. Have you ever thought you were following the leadings of the Holy Spirit and you started at one point, you're going through a journey, halfway through your journey, circumstances are changing and the destination that you thought you were going to has changed. This place is no longer a desolate place in terms of people. There's tons of people coming along. If it happened to Jesus, it could happen to you. It doesn't mean that you misheard. Let's carry on reading. Verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So catch this. Jesus is on one side of the lake. He sees his disciples. He has compassion on his disciples. He stops teaching and ministering to the crowd because his disciples are in need. They get in a boat. They go over the Lake of Galilee, and as they get to the other side, Jesus changes the plan and starts to teach this crowd. When he said it over that side of the lake, it was wrong too. Have you ever been with a leader who says they're following Holy Spirit, and they said, we're going to get to the other side, going a little journey, whether it's a building project, whether it's a mission you're going on, and this is where we're starting, and then when we go over the lake, situations change, and when you get to this side of the lake, you're doing exactly what you said was wrong to do over that side of the lake. And yet that is following Holy Spirit. Crazy, isn't it? I can just see Peter just saying to James, he's got compassion again. And James going, I wonder how long this compassion is going to last this time. What they're really saying, wait a minute, we are hungry. We're supposed to be getting our R&R, and yet Jesus has changed the plan. As it goes through, verse 35, when it was already late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it is already quite late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Over this side of the lake, they can't even feed themselves. Over that side of the lake, they're supposed to be feeding 5,000. Okay, carry on. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? And we get into what we know as the feeding of the 5,000. An incredible miracle. How did it happen? Jesus is over this side of the lake. He has compassion for his 12. He takes them across the lake. Unless you think that having a little journey across a lake is a rest in R&R, they have not had a break. They have not had their food. They are hungry. They get to this side. Jesus changes the plan. He's now ministering to these people. And the disciples all around, they start moaning and groaning. Why? Because they're hungry. Then Jesus says, feed them. What then happens is the feeding of the 5,000. How many hungry disciples, apostles, were there on this side of the lake? 12. Go through the Lake of Galilee. Things change. The feeding of the 5,000. How many baskets of food are left over after the feeding of the 5,000? 12. What was the need over there? 12 people. Over here, I have a basket of food I didn't make, I didn't buy, and yet I got to experience an amazing miracle on the way. It didn't fit in with the plan that humans have made. Following the Holy Spirit, God will give you a plan over here. It may take many changes. It may change many directions. It may seem like you've heard it all wrong. But if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you end up with more than you ever dreamed or imagined. Now that's conjuring up a scripture to you. Let me read it. Ephesians 3 verse 17. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Jesus is over here. He's experiencing love. He thinks he's got a plan, but he doesn't fully understand it. Jesus doesn't fully understand it. That is an incredible state to make. You think you don't know what you're doing with prophecy? Just look at what Jesus is doing with prophecy. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God by his mighty work within us. He is able to accomplish more than we would ever dream to ask or hope. What is the pathway of love? Dave was talking that, you know, every prophecy, every spiritual gift, the context is love. What is the pathway of love? I experience the love of God. I don't understand things completely, but as I keep following the pathway of love, I experience the power of God, the feeding of the 5,000. What is it? I experience the power of God, and what am I left with? More than I ever dreamed, imagined, or wished for. What was the catalyst? Compassion. Love. The more I read the scriptures, sometimes Jesus knows exactly where he's going. Sometimes he's just stopping with someone, and the motivation seems to be compassion. Or let me use another word, love. How do we follow Holy Spirit? Some of us are just waiting for the words to drop into our head. Our God speaks to us in multiple different ways. He uses words when nothing else will do. Sometimes he speaks to you in emotions. Sometimes he speaks to you in feelings. Sometimes he speaks to you in love. So let me give this example. You're there in church one Sunday morning, and you see Byron walking, and Byron sits over there somewhere, and you look at Byron, and you go, "Oh, Byron. He never seems to come in with anybody. He seems a bit lonely. Byron really could do with some friends. Someone in this church should really get alongside him and love him and care for him." Now, we might go and, you know, go and see the pastor, but sometimes we do this. We go, "God, there's Byron over there. He really needs someone to be friendly with him. Oh, he looks so lonely. I've got so much compassion for him. God, will you send someone along to give him love and friendship?" And then I see God up here just going, "Where do you think your compassion came from? You missed the seed for a miracle. And by praying it, you prayed it away, and instead you buried it." We were talking about, you know, one of those prophecies on that to page. I had lots of people coming to me with the things that churches should do. You know, so I had a department, and someone in their department was going to be deported because they didn't have enough money to stay in the country. They came to me, and they was like, "I think the church should pay for this person to stay in the country." And it wasn't actually that much money. I went, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's what the church should be doing. And so they said, "So what are you going to do about it then? I can leave it with you." I was like, "No, not leaving it with me. I've not had this seed of compassion put on my heart. That's your seed of compassion. I'm already spent doing all the things God's asked me to do. Why are you trying to put something that God's put on you onto me?" Or I've had a house group, and someone came to me from the house group, and it would be that there was a family in the house group, and their dryer broke. Came to me and says, "Could the church buy this person a dryer?" Yes, the church can buy this person a dryer. Well, how did they get it? Well, you're the church. Too many times God speaks to us, he gives us compassion for something or a need for something, then rather than actually allowing that seed to grow so that we can experience the love of God, experience the power of God, and experience things more than we ever dreamed or imagined, we just pass it away to a leader or someone else. Yeah, go on. Brilliant. Exactly. Jesus would do things nobody else would do. He would spend time with the notorious sinners, with the lepers. I'm just wondering, I reckon we think that church is so much about church services, and it's not. I'm fed up, you know, in some ways, I'm fed up with going to conferences about how to have better churches, better preaching, better integration systems, better discipleship, better this, better stewarding, better worship team. And I think all of those are important, and I go around teaching people how to make these things better. But it's not the focus. The focus is sharing God's love to a hurt and dying world. The Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts. And what happened to the church? They didn't stay in their prayer meeting. They went out and they preached the gospel. I hate worship services where there is no Holy Spirit. I hate worship leading where there's no Holy Spirit. But if we think that this is it, that this is where the Holy Spirit is supposed to have its most power and most influence, we've got it wrong. When the Holy Spirit falls on us, we're supposed to have seeds of compassion that draw us to share the love of God to a hurt and dying world. Do I understand how to do it? No. Do I need to? No. I just need to get in my boat and start taking the journey. I may have only half understood it, because prophecy, hearing from God, we hear in part, we know in part, we follow in part, but the bit I know, I'm going to start my journey. And as I carry on my journey, I'll just keep listening to God and see what happens. And if I follow him, maybe I'll see a miracle. Maybe I'll see the power of God transform someone's life, someone's neighborhood. See, prophecy, it's not supposed to be for in the walls of the church. Hearing the voice of God. Do you know what? You don't need to hear the voice of God much in the church. I mean, I hate preachers which haven't heard the voice of God, but that's besides the point. Where do we really need to have the direction of God and know what to do? Not where it's safe, not when we're amongst friends and family. We need to have God's direction and guidance where it's dangerous, when we're walking through valleys of the shadow of death, where we're walking where we might be attacked, where we might be criticized, where decisions that we make can make the difference between life and death. That's where we need the Spirit of God, not to make better church services. What seeds has God put on your heart? Maybe there is a homeless work in this room. Maybe God has given someone that seed in this room. If you're part of this church, yes, great, share it with Neil, but don't expect him to pay for it. If it's your seed, allow it to grow within you. Seek God to see how it can grow and how it can be fulfilled. Maybe you have seeds of compassion for your family. What is that? How do I first do things with that? Well, let's start praying. Let's start actually telling our testimony to our family. I don't mean when I was born in Barnet in a hospital there. I don't mean that at all. But I mean this. I was at church this morning and this happened. I prayed and this happened. Letting people know you're alive, that Jesus is alive. So, you know, I'm here and I'm visiting, and often, I'll show you where I'm going. Often, when I come to a place, the pastor will probably say, I want you to pray for this person, this person, this person, and this person. Why do they want me to pray for this person? Well, that person, they're going to die next week unless they have a breakthrough. This person's in a real dire need. And they will show me five people. This hasn't happened here, but five people who desperately need God to move in their life. Am I going to pray for them? Yes. But it's not who I really want to pray for. Is God driven by need? Not really. But he's driven by the cries of his people who are in need. Who am I more interested in praying for? Those who are needy or those who are hungry? Those who are hungry. Why? Because you see results with those who are hungry. Do you know how I really love praying for? It's when I stand and suddenly I get compassion for someone. Why? Because I know if I experience, and I've experienced it a few times, if I experience that compassion for someone, hey, I'm not going to have to work up a sweat here. Pretty much just go over there, say Jesus, and suddenly something's going to happen. Why? Because God somehow moves through compassion. I remember the first time I saw this working, we were in a conference, it was actually a worship conference, and I was very new to this game. It was about 12 years ago, and I was told as a team to just go and pray for everybody in this conference. And I saw this one woman over there, and I just knew I had to pray for her. I just felt compassion. I would use the word love, but that sounds a bit funny when I say I felt love for this woman, and she isn't my wife. But anyway, felt love for this woman, compassion. And so I did the subtle thing. I kind of made my way to her by, I prayed for this person, nothing really happened. I waited a few more steps, prayed for that person, nothing really happened. I went over there and prayed for someone else, nothing really happened. Then I got to this lady, and all I had to do was put my hands around her, and suddenly heaven exploded. She's on the floor crying, I'm crying, she's healed and whatever else, and I haven't even done anything. What did I do? I followed the pathway of love. I went to Gibraltar, and there was three people I felt this compassion for when I went on this mission to Gibraltar. At the end of this conference we were doing, three people gave testimony of what God had done in their life. All three were the ones I had compassion for. Here is the testimony of one of them. Hey, I wanted you guys to know, but God has blown me away again. Lol, I'm healed. You can tell it's a young person, can't you? Completely. Of scoliosis. My knees and ankles are straight. I have physical arches in my feet, and I've never had my whole life. It's all confirmed by doctors too, who can't understand how, and I just keep saying, God has healed me. My mum couldn't believe it. She was in tears, and I just kept saying, that's the God I worship. Thank you so much for your prayers when you guys were over here. You all helped me so much. I feel like my faith has deepened, and God really used you guys to show me the difference between believing God can do something and God will do something. I'll be forever grateful. Thank you. Praying blessings over you and all your church. I didn't know she had scoliosis when we prayed for her. What am I trying to tell you? God loves to talk to you through emotions. He loves to talk to you through compassion and love. Follow the pathway of love. I was invited to this conference in Kent, and this church said, all we want is Holy Spirit. And I went, you sure all you want is Holy Spirit? They said, yeah, all we want is Holy Spirit. I went, that's dangerous. All you want is Holy Spirit? We can do that. It's all you want? Yeah, that's all we want. So we did this conference. First evening was wild. Bodies everywhere. Very interesting. We finished the meeting with half the people that we started with. Second night was just as wild. Less people were there at the start, and even less when we finished. And then I was asked to do the Sunday morning. And before I did the Sunday morning service, I was pulled into an elders' meeting because they were very concerned about what was happening. I was like, well, you asked for the Holy Spirit. So we came and just brought Holy Spirit. You didn't even ask for any teaching. So all we did was bring Holy Spirit and fire. And, you know, and fortunately, the senior pastor was for us, so that was good. He was batting our side. I was thinking, are we going home? What's happening here? I'd brought my youth team with me at the time, so I had youth and I had youth leaders. And so I agreed in that meeting that we would do the worship, we'd do the preaching, we'd do the ministry. But when we do the ministry, all the youth leaders, as in the adults and me, we wouldn't move from this bit of carpet in the front of the church. I'd let the youth go around praying for people, but we're not going to move from there so that nobody has to be worried about us, you know, bewitching them or something. I don't know what. So anyway, it was a great service. We came to the end, and we said, and we'd love to pray for people now, who everyone wants Holy Spirit. People were literally running out the place, chairs flying as they're getting out the exits, couldn't get out the place fast enough because they were scared of what was going on. So I'm there rooted to my carpet. One or two people come to me. The silly thing is, the leaders didn't get, for the people who were most powerful in prayer and saw the most healings were the youth. So the youth were still going around and praying for people, seeing amazing stuff happen, while we were just stuck to this carpet. But then I see a lady over there. And I felt love, compassion for this lady. She was on crutches, so I knew there was something wrong with her. So, disobeying what I had already agreed with the church leaders, I got off the carpet, I walked straight to her. It's not something I advise doing, but sometimes, Good Samaritan did the stupid thing. Sometimes when you feel the heartbeat of love, sorry if this causes you issues, I went over to her, prayed for her. She then started walking up and down the hall. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know. She's not using crutches. I don't know what's wrong with her. But anyway, she's walking up and down the hall. Some of the elders are there going, wow, what's happened there? She couldn't walk. And now she's walking up and down the hall in front of the elders, and the rest of the church should remain, which is probably a third of them at most. Anyway, and then she just picked up her crutches, chucked them in the back of the car, drove off, was swimming the next week, which she hadn't done for years. What happened? The love of God compelled me to go and pray for someone. I wouldn't have done it unless I was really sure Holy Spirit was talking to me. But when God puts his love on you, the best thing to do is to just follow what he's saying. As I said at the start, it's not how hard you try. It's if you do what he says. So I'm going to do what he says. Can I have the worship team up? Because there's one or two people that I want to pray for. Team, if you want to just get up and start praying for people, that's great. We officially finish in 5 minutes, so if you want to leave, that's great, that's fine. We're probably going to stick around for a little bit. Guys, just do what you want. You know what you're doing. I don't know what to instruct you. We're going to worship God. I'm going to call one or two people forward. I don't really know what's going to happen because I don't normally do it. I'm just taking my next step, the next step that I believe Holy Spirit is showing me, and we're going to see what happens.